Our next guest was once again outstanding in the job that he did. He's a big key defender. He plays down back. Very rarely has his colours lowered. I speak of Daniel Taylor, and he joins us now. Tails, how are you?
Hi, Bix. How are things?
Yeah, very, very well. Give us a bit of a summation. I'm sure you've had time today to go through the match review with the coach. What were some of his words from that?
Yeah, I think the weekend was really positive, obviously getting the win away from home. And I think it was just our effort and intensity for the four quarters that was the most pleasing thing. And we were able to move the ball pretty well as well. Our ball movement was pretty crisp. And it was a really positive day for us.
One of the things I thought might come up was just what you were able to create through your pressure. You kicked 12 goals, 10 from turnovers, and just some outstanding stuff, particularly from some of your forwards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that did come up. I think we, as you said, we kicked about 12 goals in turnovers, and a lot of them were in our forward half as well, which is something that we've probably struggled with in the first 2 weeks. We've been tipping it over, backward of centre, and on the weekend we were able to do that in our front half, and that directly related to us kicking a big score. So, the pressure from the forwards was fantastic, and, the midfield got on top as well, and we were able to get the ball in there. So, it was really pleasing from those two groups.
Tails, there's a lot to like, because forward, midfield, back, all the areas, the way you get the ball back off them, then when you score, and then your ball movement. But everyone's just playing their role, from what I can see. The versatility amongst that playing group, it's such an even group.
Yeah, you said it right there. Everyone is, and that's all you've got to do in footy. A lot of times when you have weight of numbers playing their role, you get the win, and that's what we've been able to have the last couple of weeks, which has been good. And no one's been really, at that top level or really really had a bad game. It's just been an even contribution from the 22. So, it makes it really enjoyable when everyone's out there playing their role and having a good time together and certainly winning.
Opposition's going to have their moment in the sun. They're going to score. Richmond had two real big momentum swings during that game. But both times you guys were able to wrestle it back halfway through the quarter or towards the end of the quarter, get the momentum back. Gee, that's a good sign, Tails.
Yeah, and I think, you're never going to have the momentum for a full game, and being able to limit the damage when the opposition does have momentum. And I think, as you said, towards the end of the second quarter and the start of the first quarter, they had those big, patches where they were on top, but we were able to limit damage. And then when we got back on top, we were able to kick a few and, extend the lead a bit further. So that was certainly pleasing and a good result from the weekend.
Now, it was one of the things that was also pleasing, I would have thought, was against Port Adelaide last week, you kicked 22 goals, I think it was, and 19 of them came from your forwards. It was just an amazing output from those guys. This week, you only took 4 marks inside 50, and you got 11 goals from mids and half back. So it just goes to show it's not sort of one-dimensional. You don't rely on, whether it be Betts or Walker to kick a big bag for you to still score really freely.
Yeah. Obviously, our forwards against Port Adelaide, they pressed up really high, so there was a bit more opportunity for those guys to get in behind Port. But Richmond's defenders are really solid, and they've got some really good players back there, like Rance and Chaplin and guys who have been around a long time. So we had to do it in other ways. And as you said, Brody Smith kicked a couple from half back, and then you got guys like Sloaney and Dougie kicking 2 or 3 from the midfield. That always helps. So on a certain day, the forwards are going to rip the game apart, but we're not going to be relying on them every week to do that. And we feel like we've got a really good contribution from the 22, kicking goals at the moment as well.
You're quoted as saying the Crows can improve. In which areas?
Yeah, I think just on the weekend, there was a couple of times, while our ball movement was good, we probably just picked the wrong options, by hand or foot, and they directly resulted in goals. And then just a couple of aerial contests and stuff around the ground as well, which we can tidy up. So there's always room for improvement. And, I think we kept them to 56 inside 50s, but we're still trying to get that down a bit more. So trying to press forward and defend our front half is just certainly an area that we are going to continue to focus on, because the more you can restrict opposition, with our attack, it's obviously going to be good for us. So, yeah, they're just a couple of areas that we're still trying to work on.
Yeah, skill by foot right across the team to hit that spot-up player or that lead-up player off of one step. And there were 3 players that kicked 3 magnificent goals off of one step. It is a dead-set weapon if you can make a good decision under pressure and hit a target, Tails.
Yeah, exactly. We've got guys that can do that. You saw Sloane do it a couple of times, yeah. And Brody Smith. And, you know, it's about guys getting the ball out to them and setting up and putting someone out in space. And we were able to do that on the weekend and have really good balance around the contest. And that results in those guys kicking long goals, which certainly helped because Richmond weren't able to get up to defend those ones. So, yeah, that was certainly a good area. Our long kicking for goal on the weekend, you know, was a big help.
The get it and go, the plan, especially from half back, then forward to centre, you hit your targets. I've been calling. Are you a soccer fan, Tails?
Oh, not really. I'm Italian. Okay. I probably should be, but no, I'm not.
Well, this is more Spanish. Have you heard of tikitaka? The tikitaka style.
Yeah, I heard you mentioning that yesterday.
Well, what do you reckon? You are the Australian AFL version of the Spanish tikitaka.
Yeah, we've got a few blokes back there who, you know, run it and get it going. You got blokes like Lairdy and Luke Brown and you know, Brodie Smith, obviously, who can just get it. And I think Brodie Smith had 18 handball receives on the weekend, which is, you know, fantastic for him in his 100th game. So, yeah, we've got a lot of attacking weapons out there and it's certainly helping us move the ball forward at the moment.
And the only stat, if you like, from the game, I mean, to win by 6 goals is a positive, but Richmond scored 8 of their goals from stoppage. And that's a tad too high. There's a tighten-up area, Tails.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even when you lose stoppage, you try and win the next contest. And a couple of times we just weren't able to do that as well. So, yeah, there's always areas to work on out of the game. But at the moment, there's no real trends, you know, an area that we're really bad at week to week. It's just about, playing our style. And we feel like that's going to be competitive in most games. And I'm looking forward to taking that out against Sydney, who are on fire at the moment, and seeing how we go.
Now, it was a memorable weekend for many reasons. Tom Lynch was a late withdrawal. Of course, he had to get back to Adelaide quickly. His wife, or his partner, sorry, was having a baby. They had a little girl called Taylor. I'm sure he wouldn't be able to wipe the smile off his face. When did you find out that all that was unfolding?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. We woke up Saturday morning and Tommy wasn't there. And Pikey let the group know that Courtney had gone into labour and they were having their kids. So, beautiful baby girl. And Taylor, I'm not sure if he named her after Tex. I hope not. Tex is pretty ugly. But, Tommy's face. He's always smiling anyway. So, yeah, it's great news for the guys. And I think Tommy said that if he was on the bus, he was going to switch his phone off and play the game. But if he got the call before he was on the bus, he was out of there. And that's how it worked out in the end.
Now, the two guys that came in there, we know Brad Crouch was a late withdrawal. We've got some news about Brad in a second. But Jared Lyons and Riley Knight, for someone who came across pretty late, both acquitted themselves really well. Jared Lyons in particular.
Yeah, well, you know, JL's been waiting to get a game for a long time and he's been in and out. And when he has come in, he's been really stiff to, you know, go back out. He's performed really well. So, you know, we've got a lot of depth in the sample at the moment and everyone's playing really well there, which is competition for spots. So JL is a classic example. You know, someone's out and then he's back in and, really took his opportunity. So it'll be interesting this week how Pikey goes with selection because he's going to have some tough calls to make.
Yeah, particularly on the back of Rick Henderson and Charlie Cameron looking in great form in the Sandful. Now, we've got some news on Brad Crouch. He's been ruled out for the next 2 to 3 weeks. That hamstring looks to be a little bit more serious than tightness.
Man.
So I guess that's why you have depth, isn't it, Tal? Someone will get an opportunity.
Yeah, well, that's the first I've heard of that, Bix, as well. So that's really disappointing for Crouchy because he's coming along really well. But, we've got a lot of guys who can cover him and, you know, Brad will get back and do his rehab and hopefully get back in good form. And, you've got to be pretty cautious with someone like that. So, we got plenty of guys who can come in. As you said, Hendo played an awesome game on the weekend. And then you got, you know, Cam Ellis-Yolman and Dean Gore and guys like that through the midfield who are playing really well in the sample. So, yeah, any one of those guys could come in and play a role.
Who gets Buddy Saturday night?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I suppose it'll depend on where he lines up. I'm sure I'll play on him, for large parts of the game. But, it could be Jake Lever or Kyle Hardigan, depending on where he lines up. So, they got a number of tall forwards down there. So we'll have to be on our game to, play really well on the weekend.
Now, what's the plan? Now, I don't mean to be disrespectful, Daniel, but he's probably got his wheels are probably just a bit better than you. He's got maybe a bit more agility. How do you tackle someone when their weapons look like they're bigger than yours? What do you try and do when you play on him?
Oh, I think you've got to try and keep him in front of you a bit. If he gets in behind you or steps you, you're in trouble. So a lot of body work off the ball and, hoping that there's pressure up on the field and the ball's coming in a bit dirty and then you can, try and take a mark. So, He's obviously a great player, and there's different techniques you can use, but a lot of body work off the ball, I would say.
I hope you didn't shatter your confidence there, Charles. Why don't you just pencil in Buddy for 10 bits?
No, I wasn't saying that.
He's playing D'Italia, mate.
What I'm saying is that
smart defence, mate.
Smart players don't always have to have all the attributes. They still get the job done, which Daniel does more
Charles.
Often than not.
Charles King, King Kurt Tippett, first game at Adelaide since he burnt the club in 2012. I'm going to lead the booing charge. Now, I'd like a couple of players to help me out. Will you boo?
I won't boo, but I'll certainly be out there trying to get the job done on him if I'm on him, and I'll leave the booing to you, Rowie.
Done, Charles, and make no mistake, there'll be 52,000 of us. Boo, King Kurt Tippett.
Yeah, well, we'll leave the crowd to do that, and the players will just try and get the win.
Well, Daniel, the back line is performing really well, and you're the leader down there. You are generalling the troops. And
don't suck up to him now.
I'm not.
You said he hasn't got any wheels and he hasn't got the talent to go with Buddy.
Well, not many do. I don't think there's too many in the game that do have the wheels, but you are doing a great job, and we hope you can keep it going.
Yeah, I might have to surprise you on the weekend, Bix.
I hope so.
Good one. Daniel Talia there, our special guest. It's that total team defence. It's the pressure through the midfield. It's the way they get the ball back off the opposition. Set it in the opener. They're getting it back better than any team in the AFL now. But not only that, they're scoring from it.
Well, they play a team that's 3-0 and also been super impressive, which is why it promises to be...
Who have they beaten?
The match of the round, GWS. Collingwood and Carlton.
Whoopsie doo.
Well, didn't you have GWS in your eight?
Well, I have.
Yeah. So
and GWS could have beat them in the end. Who have they beaten?
Well, who have Adelaide beaten?
Well, who's been more impressive, Sydney or the Crows?
I think equally. I think they've both been really impressive. Adelaide, probably a bit better than what some people expected. Sydney just keep rolling out and rolling on. So I think once again, I am
Sydney
looking
have
forward
beaten
to it.
Nobody. Well, do you rate Collingwood? What? Do you rate Carlton?
I rate GWS. But you can only beat who you play. They beat Collingwood by 20 goals. I'm not sure what more they could do or be more impressive in that game. I'm trying to say this is the match of the round, and it is at Adelaide Oval, and it's a Saturday night, a great time slot, so Crows fans turn up and be entertained.